Tonight's shir is on this week's parsha, which is Parsha's Balak. And the title of the shir tonight is The Mechanics of a Curse. So tonight we're going to look at Bilaam's intention to curse Klal Yisrael. What exactly is a curse in the Torah? How is a curse represented or demonstrated in the Torah? So we'll look through the psukim and try and some gemaras, which are interesting, to try to understand what Bilaam was thinking. What was his mindset? How do you think that this was going to work, that he was going to say something, and all of a sudden, Klal Yisrael were going to be damaged or hurt by what he said? So we have to understand how this curse works. And of course, we know that in the story, it doesn't end up being a curse, but still, you know, what exactly was the motivation of Bilaam? So let's start from the beginning of the Parsha. For some reason, I left out Pasuk Beis, which is the first Pasuk, so I'm going to read Pasuk Beis, and then we'll go on source number one. It says, Vayar Balak ben Tzippor, eis kol asher asa Yisrael la'emori. So Balak, the son of Tzippor, saw everything that Yisrael, Klal Yisrael, had done to the Emoraim. Vayagar Moav, mepnei al me'od ki ravhu, vayakotz Moav, mepnei b'nei Yisrael. Moav was very terrified of Klal Yisrael because of what they witnessed in terms of Klal Yisrael's victories, and they were disgusted. It says Vayakatz Moav. They interpret that as disgusted because of Bnei Yisrael. Vayomer Moav el Ziknei Binyan Atal Yilachu Akalas Kol Svivosinu Kilchu Chashor Isir Kasedeu Volak Ben Tzipor Melech LeMoav Baisahi. So Moav goes to their neighboring nation Binyan, who normally they actually despise, and they go to Binyan and they decide to hatch a plot against Klal Yisrael because they're nervous that Klal Yisrael are becoming great and they're eating up everything. And Balak, at the end of the pasuk says that Balak was the king of Moab. So once again, Moab is very afraid of Klal Yisrael, and they go to Midian to try to figure out a plan in order to stop Klal Yisrael, to stop the Jewish people. Vayishlach malachim el Bilaam ben Beor Pesora asher lanar eretz bnei amolek rolo lemor hine am yotza mimitzrayim. So what's the plan? They send out messengers to Bilaam, to Pesor, which was the place that he was living, and they say that Klal Yisrael, there's a nation that left Mitzrayim, and they're covering the land, and they're now opposite me. So they decide to hire Bilaam, and they send out messengers to hire Bilaam. Ve'ata l'cha na'arali esa amazek ki atzum hu mimeni ulai uchal nakebo v'agarshenu min aretz ki adati. And they say, the messengers say to Bilaam, that can you please curse them for me, curse this great nation, because this nation is very powerful and great, and that way they'll be driven out of the land, because I know that when you bless, the people who you bless are blessed, and the people that you curse are cursed. And finally in Zion it says, Vayilchu ziknei Moav ziknei Binyan uksamim biyadam vayavou el Bilaam vayidabru elav divrei Balak. And then they actually, instead of just sending messengers, they actually go to visit Bilaam. Whoever's on the phone line, can you just put on your mute button? I think we're hearing background noise. Okay, so just to summarize the psukim, in source number one, Moav, Balak was the king of Moav. He sees that Klal Yisrael is very strong, and he goes to Midian, and they decide to hire Bilaam in order to curse Klal Yisrael. So the question is, and in that way, they'll end up driving Klal Yisrael out of the land, and they'll be successful in stopping Klal Yisrael. So the question that the Shir is going to focus on is, what exactly did they think Bilaam was going to be able to do to Klal Yisrael? What is this curse? It says in the end of Pasuk Vav, Eis kiadati eis asher tevarech mevarach v'asher to'or you are. So we know that whoever Bilaam blessed became blessed, and whoever Bilaam cursed became cursed. So how exactly did Bilaam do that? What was the method in which Bilaam used to curse people and that he was actually successful? Did he just say something? Did he say a magic word and somehow that worked? We don't really believe in that in the Torah. So the question is, what was the intention of Balak? He wasn't an idiot. The Torah wouldn't be presenting an idiotic plan, but he had some type of plan. And he goes to Bilaam, and Bilaam had this method, a successful method of cursing. So we have to understand, how do you curse somebody else? What is the method of Bilaam? And what was his intention and his intention and the mechanics of the curse, of the potential curse on Klal Yisrael? Okay, so those are the questions, two questions. What was the plan, and how does it work? How does the curse work? So if we look into the Sforno, in source number two, he gives us a little bit of insight into how a curse works. And he says like this, Asher tivarech mevorach, So Balak sends messengers, and they say to Bilam that whoever you bless is blessed, and whoever you curse is cursed. Hinei kocho lo haya levarich. So Bilam really didn't have, he wasn't so successful in the blessing department. So he wasn't so good at actually blessing others. Aval haya lekalel, but he was really good at cursing people. So really, Bilam's talent was cursing others. So how did this magical curse work? It says Bahaskir avon. Either he would mention a flaw, O bechivein shah, or he was able to estimate the time. Kedivrei Rabosinu Zal and Brachos, like the Chazal say in Brachos, which we're going to look at next. V'lachin lo shal mimenu shivarcheu lanetzach. So the question is, why didn't they just ask Bilam to bless them? Instead of cursing Klal Yisrael, just bless Midian and Moav, and that way they'll be victorious against Klal Yisrael. O sheyuchal desyatev mineged, or they'll be able to stand up against Klal Yisrael. Aval Amar, Yadati Esar Sher Tevarech Mevarach, Lechvodo Shel Bilam, Lohoro Shelo Chashav Oso Lamazik Bilvad. So the only reason why they said to Bilam that we know that whoever you bless is blessed is because they didn't want to shame Bilam and just call him a cursor and just a damager. So they gave him some credit for creating positive brachos as well. But really, Bilam's talent was not in the positive realm. He wasn't capable of producing good brachos. So if you had like the Rebbe's today, you know, he wasn't good at that. If you went to him for advice or you wanted a bracha, Bilam was not the person to go to. But if you wanted a curse, if you wanted him to send a curse on somebody else, then he was the right person. And the question is, what is this talent that Bilam had? And he kind of gives us insight, the Sforno. He says either Bilam's ability to mention a flaw, Bahaskir Avon, O Bechivein Shah, or he's able to estimate a specific time. And that's how Bilam was a successful cursor. He was successful Mekalel. So what is that talent, and what are those ideas that he's either able to be Maskir Avon, or he's able to estimate a time? What is that even referring to, just factually? So the Svarna quotes a Gemara in Brachos, and I think that this Gemara is very interesting. It's fascinating Gemara and really hard to understand from a literal standpoint. But I think with the Gemara, we'll have some insight into how the curse would possibly potentially work against Klal Yisrael. So Gemara says as follows. It's source number 3. It's Brachos Zayin Abed Aleph. The Amar Rabbi Yochanan Mishrim Rabbi Yossi. So Rabbi Yochanan said, in the name of Rabbi Yossi, Minayin She'in Maratzin Lo La'adam B'Shas Ka'aso. How do you know that you can't appease a person when the person's angry? Dichsiv, we learn from Hashem, Panayi Lechu V'Hanichosi Lach. My face will go, and I will give thee rest. That's Hashem speaking to Moshe. Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'Moshe. So Hashem was saying to Moshe, Hamtein li ad shi'avru panim shel zam va'aniach lecha. So you have to wait a little bit till my anger subsides, and then I'll give you rest, and I'll allow this to happen. So we see from this pasuk that really when a person's angry, just like when Hashem was angry, which is not literal, but we'll explain it, that when Hashem's angry, it's not a good time to get what you need or to appease that person or to satisfy that person, but you have to wait till the anger subsides. So now the Gemara goes on an even stranger path. It says, Umi ika rischa kamei dekutcher brichu. Who says that there's anger, that there's a real anger before Hashem? Is that true? Yes, it is. Disanya, as it says in a brisa, v'kel zoim b'chol yom. There's a pasuk in Tehillim that says that Hashem gets angry every single day. So in every day, Hashem gets angry. The kama zamo, and how long does his anger last for? So when Hashem gets angry every day, how long does it last for? Rega, it lasts for a moment. The kama rega, how much is a moment? The Gemara asks. Echad mechameshes ribo ushmona salafim ushmona meos ushmonim ushmona bishah. It's 158,888 part of an hour. So that's the length of time that Hashem is angry. So I'm not sure what that measurement is. And then it says, V'zohi rega. This is a rega, the moment. V'ein kol beria yechola l'chavein osesha. But nobody really knows when that moment is going to occur in the daytime. Chutz mi Bilam arasha. Except for Bilam. Dichsiv be, because it says by Bilam, V'yodea das elyon. That he knew the mind of, or he knew the intellect of the highest. Hashta das behemto lo havayada das elyon havayada. He didn't know. He didn't understand his animal. How could he understand God, Hashem? Ella, rather, this teaches you melamed shahayud yodea lechavein osa shah shakadosh baruch hu koisba. Bilam was able to figure out the moment in the daytime, in the day of every day that Hashem gets angry. V'hainu de'amar luhu navi li'Yisrael, and this is what it means when the Navi says to Yisrael, Ami zecharna ma'yad Balak melech Moav. You should know, you should remember what Balak's advice was, melech Moav and Bilam. So we see from the Gemara here, that the Gemara says something really strange. It says that, what was the talent of Bilam, and how did one element of the curse, according to the Sfarno, the talent was that every day Hashem gets angry. And there's a moment every single day that Hashem is angry, and it's a small percentage of an hour. And in that moment, nobody knows when that moment is in the daytime. But Bilam was able to figure out when that moment is. So obviously the question is, what is the concept? How do we explain that Hashem gets angry every day? Why is that the case? Why is that a reality? It says that in Tehillim, Kel Zoim B'chol Yom. And what is this moment that it's talking about? And what was Bilam's talent that he could access this moment? You know, and why can't anybody else access this moment? So again, it's just a very strange Gemara. Many questions on this Gemara. You know, it's very anthropomorphic also. Is Hashem really angry? We don't believe in Hashem having emotions. So what does it mean that Hashem gets angry every day, that Bilam had this talent, that he was able to access this moment of anger, and he knew when it was, and that was part of the plan to curse, as the Sforno says, or that was part of his ability to curse. So what exactly is going on here in this Gemara? And then the Gemara gets even stranger. It says, "My laman das tzidkos Hashem." What does it mean when the Pasuk says, you should know the righteousness of Hashem? Amar Rabbi Elazar, Amar Lama Kadosh Baruch Hu Yisrael, Hashem said to Yisrael, Du'u kama tzidkos asisi imachem. You should know how righteous I was with you. Shelo ka'asti bimei Bilam arasha. I didn't get angry at all in the time of Bilam. Shel mali ka'asti, if I was angry, lo nishtayir misoneim shel Yisrael sarita polit. Misoneim Yisrael is a euphemism to Klal Yisrael. And he's saying that nobody would exist from Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael would be completely destroyed. V'hainu de ka'amar le Bilam le Balak. That's what it means when Bilam says to Balak, Ma'ekov lo kabo'el u'ma'ezom lo sa'am Hashem. How can I curse if Hashem doesn't curse? And how can I get angry if Hashem's not getting angry? Melamed, this teaches us, Shekol osan ayamim lo za'am. So all those days, Hashem was not angry. And then there's two different explanations as to how long the rega is. V'kama zamo, how long is his anger? Rega, a moment. V'kama rega, what is a moment? So this is an argument on the Shita before. Ami Rabbi Avin v'itema Rabbi Avina rega kamemre. It's the time that it takes a person to say rega. U'minolan de rega rasach. Where do you know that it's a moment that Hashem gets angry every day? Shenemar ki rega be'apo chayim b'irtano. Because it says that there's a moment of anger and a lifetime for favor of a lifetime. For favor for a lifetime. And then he says, V'ibayisim ha'mahacha chavi kimat rega ad yavor zom. That you should hide for a little bit until his anger passes. So we see from this Gemara, let me just summarize. The Gemara says that that Bilam really had his talent, that he was able to access the moment of every day that Hashem got angry. But when Bilam was trying to curse Hashem, curse Klal Yisrael, Hashem was not getting angry in those days. And he was unable to access that moment or to understand or estimate when that moment is. So we have to understand the talent that Bilam has. What is the concept that Hashem gets angry every single day? That it's only a small moment of the day? What does that mean exactly? How does the curse work? Again, it's the same question as before. How would Bilam's curse be effective in actually damaging Klal Yisrael? So those are all the questions. So let me just summarize, and then we'll move a little bit forward. So again, we wanted to know, you know, what the plan of Bilam was and the plan of Balak and Midyan. How is the curse going to work? And the Svarno says that there's two concepts. One is Behazgir Avon, that Bilam would mention a flaw, and the other one is that he would estimate the time. And what is estimation of time referring to? It's referring to the Gemara in Brachos, where it says that Hashem gets angry every day in a certain time period, a very small period of the day, and Bilam was able to figure out when that time was. So how is Bilam able to figure that out, and what exactly is the concept that Hashem gets angry every day? And if Bilam was successful, then it sounds like Klal Yisrael would be destroyed. So why would they be destroyed? Because of Bilam's words or because of Bilam's curse? Okay, there's another Gemara in Avodah Zarah, and after this Gemara in Avodah Zarah, it's the same Gemara in Brachos. So there's one other element that we should take up, and then we'll try to get into some of the some other ideas, some other answers. So the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, in source number 4, it's Avodah Zarah Daf Dalet Amud Aleph. If anybody has any questions, just stop me at any moment. Or want me to summarize again? just stop me in the middle of the shir, okay? So Rapapa Ramik Siv, Rapapa noticed a contradiction in the Psukim. It says, Kael Zoin B'chol Yom, that Hashem gets angry every day, Uchsiv Lifnei Zamo Miyamod, who can stand in the face of God's anger, of Hashem's anger? Lo Kashya, Kan B'Yachid, Kan B'Tzibor. So one's talking about with regard to a Yachid, and the other one, an individual, and the other one's talking about a group of people, a Tzibor. So Rashi over there in source number 5 says, Zoin B'chol Yom, Va'afilu Hachi Kaiminon, Uchsiv Miyamod. Nevertheless, even though Hashem gets angry every day, and we saw in the Gemara before that it's a very small percentage of the day, nevertheless, we're still able to exist. So how do you reconcile the two contradictory psukim? So one is b'yachid miyamo, that a yachid cannot stand in the face of God's anger every day. But b'tzibor afal gav b'chol yom zoim miskaimin. Even though that Hashem gets angry, the tzibor is still able to exist, despite the fact that Hashem gets angry every day. So again, so what we see from here is that the anger of Hashem on a daily basis is an anger that refers to the tzibor, even though the tzibor is able to, they're able to persist and continue to exist, but it's an anger that relates to the tzibor, not to the yachid. So what is this anger that Hashem has every day? What is this moment of anger? And how did Bilam plan and know to estimate the time of God's anger every single day? Okay, so those are all the questions that we have. So there's another interesting point that's brought down in the Psukim that I want to go through. There's a Ramban, and maybe we'll try to understand the elements of the curse, and then I'll put everything together, hopefully, at the end of this year, and it'll make sense, I think. So if you look in source number 6, when we actually look at how they were planning, how Bilam and Balak were planning to curse Klal Yisrael, they keep going to all these different places. And if you look in source number 6, in Bamidbar Perek Chaf Beis, Pasuk Lamites, it says, Vayelech Bilam in Balak, Vayavo Kiryas Chutzos. So first Bilam goes with Balak, and they go to a place called Kiryas Chutzos. Vayizbach Balak Bakar Vatzon, Vayishalach Livolam Bilasarim Asher Ito. So the Balak decides to slaughter some meat, and he sends it to Bilam and to all the officers that are with him. Vayhiva Boker, Vayikach Balak Es Bilam, Vayaleu Bamos Baal, Vayar Misham Ketzeom. And then in the morning time, Balak takes Bilam to this high place where he can see a part of the nation. So it's interesting, in the Psukim, when we see that Balak and Bilam are planning, where really Bilam is planning to curse Klal Yisrael, there's some type of importance that they see Klal Yisrael, and they be brought to different places. We'll see in other Psukim as well. But for some reason, the curse could only be effective if they saw, if Bilam was able to see a part of Klal Yisrael. And again, it's really bizarre, because if a person has a magical ability to curse another person, you'd think that you could do it from the comfort of your own home. Why do you actually have to go see the other person to curse them? You know, there's always the voodoo people, right? They have those dolls, and they're supposedly, the way they think it works is that if they prick the dolls, then the person gets hurt through the needle prick. So they don't have to actually see the person that they're pricking when they're actually doing it. So why over here, by a curse, the Torah is presenting us with some type of rational idea of a curse, of a klala. So why is it that Bilam actually has to go to these different places in order to see Klal Yisrael when he's cursing them? Why is that necessary, and how does that affect the value of the curse? Okay, so if you look in source number 7, the Ramban gives a little bit of insight. He says like this, in source number 7, it's Pasuk Mem Aleph, the Ramban. Haya male oso b'makom shir enu. So Balak took Bilam to a place where he could see Klal Yisrael. When he's cursing them, he should see them. Kedei shiskavein elav bekilaso velo tiparid nafsho mihem. So he wanted Bilam's kavana, his intent, to be attached to Klal Yisrael. So, and the only way to do that is to see them, because he didn't want his nefesh to be separated from them. Because the soul is able to attach itself when you can see something. When you can't see something, it's harder to attach the soul, for the soul to attach itself. But when you can actually see something, then it actually works. There's a story in Bava Kama. So it says, lift up my eyebrows because I want to see. They lifted them up. Once he saw Rav Kahana, I forgot who it was, one of the Chazal, so that's when his soul rested. So you see that eyesight is very important for the soul to connect. V'higit HaKasuv, Ki lo ra'a kol ha-machane. So at first the Torah tells us that he only saw a part of the machane. Ki ha-yuchonim arba de-galim la-arba ruchos ha-shamayim. Because they were really in a square and in different directions. And Bilam, in the first type time that he tried to curse them, he only saw part of the Klal Yisrael. Uvapa mashinis amar lo balak efes katzeo tireh v'chlo lo sireh. The second time, Balak took Bilam to a place where he can see all of Klal Yisrael. Lomar gamba pamazos lo sireh ukulo ki imu adavar hamoneh memcha kilasa. But he didn't see all of them. He didn't see all of Klal Yisrael to the last curse. But there's a progression here, the Ramban's pointing out, where Bilam saw a small part of the people, then he saw a larger part, and then the last he saw all of them. Aval kavno li misham im tuchal. Try to curse them from there if you can. Ki ein li, we're on the next page. Ki ein li makom laharoso kulo misham. You can't see them all from that place. Chash of balak ulai yesh ba'achas haktzavos degal nashim tzadikim v'tovim hasher ein Hashem chafetz dako. So Balak was nervous that in every place that he took Bilam, perhaps there are individuals that Hashem wouldn't want to oppress, and that's why he keeps taking him to different places where he can see different parts of the people, and there's a progression here. So the question is, what's the value? The Ramban kind of hints to it, and he gives an explanation, but we have to understand what he means. What's the value of actually seeing parts of Klal Yisrael in the curse? So this is another question that we can ask on the whole idea of a curse. So the first question that we had is, how does it work? How do you curse somebody else in the Torah? Then the second question was that the Svarno mentions it's mentioning a flaw or also estimating the time. Bilam was able to estimate the time of anger in every day of Hashem. What does that mean? Also, this anger refers to Klal Yisrael, the Tzibor, and not to the Yachid. Why? And then finally, the last question is, in cursing somebody, it was necessary for Bilam to see the people. So you have to understand why he had to see the people, and he sees different levels of the people, smaller amounts, and he tries to see them at an angle. I think in the last one, he saw them completely. So for some reason, when you try to curse somebody, it's important to see them. So why is it important to see the person when you're cursing them? So let's just look at 8, 9, and 10, look through some psukim, and there's another question that I want to ask. And then I think with that, we can start hopefully getting some insight. So if you look in 8, and it's Bamidbar Parakhav Gimel, I'm just going to look through the different times that Bilam tries to curse them. It says like this, Vayomer Bilam el Balak b'nei li vazeh shiva mizbachos, v'hachin li vazeh shiva farim v'shiva ilim. So Bilam says to Balak, in order for me to curse Klal Yisrael, I need you to set up seven altars, where I can sacrifice seven parim and seven elim. Vayas balak hasher diber bilam vayal balak ubilam par vayal b'mizbeach. And he does that, and he ends up bringing korbanos. Vayomer bilam levalak hisyatsev al olasecha ve'elcha ulai yikare Hashem likrasi udvar mayar eni v'igatilach vayelach shefi. So Bilam says to Balak, I'm going to go off on my own, and he ends up going up the hill, and he says, I'm going to see what Hashem says to me. Vayikar Elokim El Bilam Vayomer Elav Es Shiva Mizbechos Arachti Va'al Para Va'al Bamizbeach. And Hashem appears to Bilam, and Bilam says that I arranged for all these korbanos to be brought and all these mizbechos, these altars, to be set up. So what's the question here in source number 8? So the question is, why are korbanos now an element of the curse as well? Somehow, for some reason, Bilam believes that he needs to bring korbanos in order to curse Klal Yisrael. So why can't he just curse Klal Yisrael with just simply saying something, saying whatever a curse is? Let's say it's a voodoo statement. So why can't he just say the voodoo statement? Why does he need to bring korbanos? And this is a persistent theme throughout the story. If you look in number 9, it says, Vayomrei lav balak lecha na'iti al makom acher asher tirani misham efes katzeo tireh v'chololo sireh v'kovna li misham. So we see from the psukim that Balak takes Bilam to a place where he can see more of Klal Yisrael, and that's where we'll curse them. Vayikachayu sedei tzofim al rosh ha'pesukah v'yiven shiva mizbechos v'yal par v'ayal v'mizbeach. So what happens is they bring korbanos again. Vayomer al Balak hisatzev ko al olasecha v'anochi yikare ko. So once again, in source number 9, the second time they try to curse Klal Yisrael, he brings korbanos, and also there's this progression that he moves to a different space so that he can see them in a different light and a different angle. So what is the purpose of moving to different angles and moving to different spaces to see Klal Yisrael? And again, what's with the korbanos? Why bring korbanos to curse them? And finally, in source number 10, we get a little bit more insight. One extra element, and I think we can put everything together. It says, Vayomer Balak el Bilam. So Balak said to Bilam, L'cha na ekachacha el makom acher ula yishar b'nei Elokim v'kaboso li misham. So Balak says, maybe this last place will do it. Maybe this last makom, this last place where you can see Klal Yisrael is going to be the kicker, and it'll finally work, and you'll finally be able to curse them. Vayikach Balak es Bilam rosha pa'or hanishkaf apnei yishimon. So Balak took Bilam to the Rosh HaPa'or, that's what it says, Rosh HaPa'or, HaNishkaf al Pnei Yishimon, which was overlooking Pnei Yishimon. Vayomer Bilam al Balak, B'nei li bazeh shimav mizbachos, v'achin li bazeh shivafarim, m'shivar lim. Once again, we see the korbanos, v'yas Balak hasher mar Bilam, v'yal par v'yal b'mizbeach. So if you look in Chav Ches, the last place was Rosh HaPa'or. And the Rashi and the Medrash, they point out an interesting idea here. So what's the concept of Rosh HaPa'or? If you look in source number 11, Rashi says, Rosh HaPa'or Kosim Haya Balak. That Balak was a charmer, meaning he used charms and he used magic. Uvera Shehin Asidin Lilkos Alidei Pa'or. V'lo Haya Yodea B'ma. So he understood that the Jewish people were going to be damaged and they were going to be attacked by God through Pa'or, through their sin of Pa'or. But he didn't understand how. Amar Shema HaKlala Tachla Leam Misham. Maybe that's the place where the Klala will fall upon them. V'chein Kol HaChozim B'Kochavim Roem Be'inam Yodim Ma Roem. He looked at the stars to try to figure out, he was like an astrologer, Balak, and he figured out that there was some type of connection between Pa'or, the idea of Pa'or, which is one of the gods, the Avodah Zarah gods, and Klal Yisrael being attacked. He just didn't understand the connection, so he thought, oh, maybe that'll be the best place for them to be cursed. And the Medrash says something similar. It says, Balak haya balak samem unechashim yoser mibilam. That Balak was even a greater astrologer than Bilam. Shaya Bilam holeich achar of kesuma. Bilam was like a blind man. Lefi shaya Balak roe asidos. He saw the future. Sheisrael ha'yu asidin lachto b'Baal Pa'or. He saw that the Jews were going to be chotim with Baal Pa'or. Kedei sheyiskor lahem HaKadosh Baruch Hu oso avon v'gam yaniach lahem l'kalla. In order that this avon, this flaw, be mentioned, and he allow Bilam to curse Klal Yisrael. So in this medrash we see, it brings us full circle to the Svarno. So the Svarno said that Bilam was a good cursor. Why was Bilam a good cursor? Because either he was maskir avon, he can mention the flaw, or he was able to estimate the time. And now this medrash is saying that they were trying to use a place that was connected to the flaw of Klal Yisrael to curse them. So how does the curse work exactly? We have to put all the ideas together. Finally, one last thing that we see. In source number, actually, I think we can put them together right now. We can try to answer some of the questions. And then in source number 13, I'll give you a nice proof to what the idea is. Does anybody have any possibilities to how a curse works before I say anything? So again, the questions are many, many questions. How does a curse work? How is Bilam planning to actually curse Klal Yisrael? Was he just going to say words and somehow those words were going to have power and the power was going to affect Klal Yisrael? Or was there some method of cursing? And then you have this strange Gemara that says that Bilam knew that, you know, when God is angry, that God's angry every day. And again, there's a lot of questions here, a lot of strange things. Why do you have to bring korbanos? So how does this curse, what are the mechanics of a curse in the Torah, a real curse that the Torah values as has some validity? It's not just a voodoo statement. So those are the questions. All right, so I think the answer is I think we can put everything together now. So what exactly is going on here? So Bilam had a talent. We said before that Bilam's talent was that the Gemara in Brachos says that he's able to estimate the time every day that Hashem gets angry. So what is the meaning of the concept that Hashem gets angry every day? Why does it have to be that Hashem gets angry every day? So why is that the case? So I think there's a deep idea here in the Gemara in Brachos, and we'll gain some insight into Bilam. So I think the concept of Kael Zoim B'chol Yom, that in Tehillim it says that Hashem gets angry every day, is the idea that anger is really one of the midos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's one of the characteristics of Hashem, of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the way He acts towards us. It's not a real emotion, because Hashem doesn't have emotions, but it's one of the characteristics of the way God acts towards us. And the idea is, and that's usually kas is an idea in din, in midas ha-din, and the idea of absolute justice, that whenever Hashem gets angry on Klal Yisrael, it's usually because Klal Yisrael messed up, and Hashem's anger is really against them because of they messed up. It's really schar v'onesh, they deserve it, and din demands that they be punished. So, but the Gemara says also that if Hashem had gotten angry and Bilam was successful, he would have destroyed all of Klal Yisrael. So whatever this anger is, this anger that occurs every day, it's a very severe form of anger. Because we have ideas of din in the Torah, but he says, the Gemara says that if El Mali Ka'asti, if I was angry in one of those days, Lo Nishtayer Misonam Shel Yisrael Sarei Tepalit, all of Klal Yisrael would be destroyed. So the nature of the anger every day is pure anger. It sounds like it's anger towards Klal Yisrael in the fullest sense. Because if God's anger were actually expressed, he's saying that Klal Yisrael would be destroyed. So what is that idea? How do we explain that? So I believe the concept is that Midas HaDin, which is the purest form of justice, exists, the concept exists in every day. Meaning the world is created with Midas HaDin, through justice and with Rachamim. But the idea of absolute justice, it's not just a fantasy, but it exists every day. It can't be that a person goes through their day and they believe that it's impossible that din could actually occur, that justice could occur and that people could be destroyed. It is a possibility, and that possibility exists every single day. Why? Because the idea of din being a facet and a key foundation of the world, that the world was created with an idea of schar v'onesh, that if you do something wrong, you deserve to be punished. And the concept of din is one of the key elements, one of the yesodos, the building blocks of the world. So is rachamim as well. So the idea that of something being present every day is an idea that the concept of din, the idea of din, it has to have some potential to be manifest every day. It doesn't mean that it's actually going to be manifest, because we see that we still exist, and we see that Klal Yisrael, there is rachamim as well, and we see that Klal Yisrael is able to exist. But we have to recognize that the concept of din has the ability to manifest itself to the fullest extent every single day. And the idea of Bilam knowing the exact moment, I don't think there's a... I mean, the Gemara says that it's a certain percentage of an hour, and Bilam was able to calculate that. But I think it's more of an idea, I believe, that Bilam understood the concept of din, and he understood, you know, its value to the world, probably more so than other people, than the average person. So the idea of Bilam estimating the time of din and trying to was an idea that Bilam was able to, he understood the value of din and the necessity of din in the creation of the world, and he was able to access that. But what method would he use to access that? So it sounds like the method he would use to access that was really the method of tefillah. So you see that before we saw in all the klalos, it's not really coming from Bilam himself. He's really bringing korbanos, and korbanos are really a sign of tefillah. It's a sign of serving God, avodah LaHashem. And in fact, that also explains that we see that the Ramban says that Bilam had to see the people, and he had to be connected to them, because when he was mispalel for din to be manifest on Klal Yisrael, for absolute justice, for them to be punished in the fullest, to the fullest extent, even though we believe in rachamim, his tefillah had to be one of kavana. He had to be able to see Klal Yisrael in order to have kavana. And we know this is a reality, that when you see something, you're able to focus your energy on it much more than if you're just further away. So, and he also brought korbanos as well. So the method of a curse really flows through tefillah, through the method of tefillah, through prayer. But Bilam was unique in the sense that his tefillah was that this concept of din, this concept of absolute justice, which he understood greater than any other individual, and that's what his talent was. He understood how din worked and the value of din in the world, so he was able to manifest it or tap into din through tefillah, through the method of tefillah. So the curse, a curse in the Torah is not that a person, an individual, has any voodoo power, has magical powers. But a curse in the Torah, which is reflected in Bilam, is really when the individual is able to be mispalel to Hashem, almost for the manifestation of Midas HaDin, for the manifestation of absolute justice. And if that were to occur, then Klal Yisrael would be destroyed. But he needed to see Klal Yisrael in different lights in order to connect himself to the klal that he was cursing. And it's an idea in kavana, like in tefillah, when you're davening, you want to focus your energy on the thing, on Hashem, but also on the things that you want and really believe that you need them and the things that we're thankful for. So too by a curse. A curse is not a reflection of the individual, it's really from God. But in order to be successful, Bilam had to arrange his kavana in the right way. And finally, there's another element to the curse, which is the last element. And once again, I'll try to unite everything a little bit better. But the last element of the curse is the concept that Bilam understood, and Balak as well, they understood where Klal Yisrael's flaws were. In fact, if you look in source number 13, right after the story of Balak and Bilam, Klal Yisrael were punished. Why? Because it says in source number 13, it's at the end of Balak. So the Jews were living in a place called Shittim, and they were seduced by the daughters of Moab. So the people of Moab, they called the Jewish people to feast with their idolatry, and the people gave in. The Jews became attached to Baal Peor, and Hashem got angry at Yisrael. And Rashi says over there in source number 14, line number 2, Liznos el benos Moav al yidei atzas Bilam kediisa beparachelek. The Gemara says that Bilam was the one who gave the advice to Moav, to Balak, that they should send their women in to prostitute themselves out to the Jewish people in order to get them to sin. So what do you see by Bilam? That Bilam really understood, and Balak as well, but together they understood the flaws of Klal Yisrael. They understood where Klal Yisrael really deserved Midas Adin and what reason they deserved Midas Adin. And that's what the allusion is to in the last curse, that they took them to Rosh HaPa'or, the top of Pa'or. It was an allusion to the potential flaw of Klal Yisrael, to their flaws and their... So Bilam and Balak, knowing Asidos or Bilam's knowledge of the psyche of Klal Yisrael, through that they understood why Midas HaDin would be manifest on Klal Yisrael. So once again, it's really not that difficult, but if you put everything together, it's really one concept. The concept of a curse is really through the method of tefillah. And the tefillah is that Midas HaDin, the Midas HaDin of creation, of the world, be manifest. But also there be a recognition of Klal Yisrael's flaws in the tefillah. And that way, the Midas HaDin, which is absolute justice, which Klal Yisrael we do believe in as well, would be manifest and would affect Klal Yisrael. And if you look at the Rashbam in source number 15, finally, he says, Es asher tevarech b'nevuah. Through nevuah, gam Balak haya yodea shenavi haya. Balak knew that Bilam was a Navi, uvenevuah haya omer hasidos. And it was through nevuah from God that he said the future. O al yidei kesamim, or through charming. Kichein nikra Bilam hakosein biyoshua. Bilam was also considered a charmer. Ach savor hu shiyo'ilu lo tfilosov v'korbanosov. Nevertheless, he believed that Bilam was going to be successful through his tfilos and through his korbanos. So the Rashbam is saying openly that a curse only works through God, and it only works through tefillah. But a true curse in the Torah, the way that Bilam wanted to try to set it up, was that it was not a curse from himself. It didn't come from him or his own power. He recognized that it would only come from God. All he was doing through tefillah was pointing out the flaws of Klal Yisrael and trying to elicit a manifestation of Midas HaDin to the fullest extent. So those were the method of Bilam. Bilam was a talented curser. He was able to understand the value and necessity of Midas HaDin, of absolute justice, and he was also able to perceive insight into the flaws of Klal Yisrael. And when you put those two together, and he used the method of tefillah to try to bring those two together, so it's a dangerous combination. So once again, it wasn't Bilam who was the curser, it was really Hashem. It was just that Bilam was trying to use this method of tefillah in order to elicit damage and destruction of Klal Yisrael. Okay, so it's real. I don't know if everybody, when you learn this in elementary school or in high school, you think that there's actually some type of superstitious element. But I think with this shir, I'm trying to break down the superstitious element and trying to show you that, based on the Gemara and based on the Rishonim, trying to show you that there's really, it wasn't so crazy, it wasn't so illogical, and the idea of a curse is recognized in the Torah as something, as having some value. So once again, let me just summarize the shir, and then we'll finish for tonight. So the main question this year was how the curse works. How does the curse work? And we see from the way Balak treats Bilam that Bilam was a successful curser. He was good at being Mekala. So, and the reason is because he was able to be Maskir Avon, and he was Mechavi in the Shah. He knew when the time was that God got angry. And the Gemara says something strange, that Hashem gets angry every day, and only Bilam knew when that time was, and only he could, and he knew that, and if not for the fact that God wasn't angry, Klal Yisrael would be destroyed. So the question is, what is that time period? What did Balak know? And how were Klal Yisrael protected? And then finally, we also see, in the next step, we see that he had to see Klal Yisrael in different moments when he was cursing. So why did he have to see Klal Yisrael? Why did he have to bring Korbanos as well? And then the last curse, it had to be, it related to their last flaw. So how does a curse work? That was the question. The main answer that we wanted to give in the shir tonight is that a curse works through tefillah, and that's why there's korbanos, and that's why Bilam has to look at Klal Yisrael, because he has to focus his energy, just like in tefillah. But the tefillah of Bilam combined two elements. One was haskaras avon, like the Sforno says, really recognizing and trying to point out the flaws of Klal Yisrael, and the other one was kivin shah, also trying to elicit or manifest the a demonstration of midas adin, because there is a value to midas adin in itself, and midas adin is something that we learn from. So he was trying to elicit the curse through those two elements, through tefillah, while mentioning the flaws of Klal Yisrael, the reason why they should be destroyed, and eliciting pure midas adin, something that's an element, conceptual element to the in the creation of the world that exists in every day, a recognition that God is the ultimate judge, and there is a potential for that justice every day. All right, so that's really the shir tonight. Anybody have any questions? I know it might have been a little bit of a difficult shir, but anybody, any questions? Or anybody want me to summarize again or clarify? Okay, so everybody have a good Shabbos. Yeah.